Here in Australia, although it can be tough to believe sometimes, we do hope that we're slowly and thankfully moving towards a kind of more inclusive culture and country. This isn't to suggest it's all been nailed so far, but at least in the arts, the works, projects and pieces coming out of the industry have done a great job in reflecting, or at least trying to reflect, Australia's diversity of culture and long history. This is something that can't always be said for a lot of other industries out there. However, up until this point, although an individual's artistic work is protected by copyright, Australia does not yet have laws that prevent misuse, alterations, and alike of traditional symbols, music, performances, story, and etc. that might be a part of particular Indigenous tradition, language groups, and country. Last week, the Australia Council for the Arts released protocols for using First Nations intellectual and cultural property to try to protect these traditions and history, as well as making sure they are presented accurately in works going forward. To give us a little rundown, we're joined this morning by Australia Council Head of First Nations Arts and Culture, Patricia Adjaye. Patricia, thanks for joining the show, especially on a public holiday like this morning.
Oh, no worries. Good morning.
So, first of all, what are these protocols going to outline going forward, and can you maybe give us a couple of examples of them?
Sure. The protocols are best practice guidelines that promote ethical and legal considerations when artists and arts organisations are wanting to work with First Nations artists and communities. So these protocols are really a sort of guideline in relation to best practice collaboration. So when someone is, for example, wanting to work with an Indigenous artist using a particular story or song, these protocols really provide the 10 principles which you should abide by in relation to consent and consultation, and really sort of enhancing a respectful relationship when you're working with that particular Indigenous story or song.
How important is it to kind of stick to these principles, like you just said, for the First Nations community, either within the industry or just in general as a whole?
Yeah, those 10 principles in the protocols are really focused on that sort of ethical, moral, collaborative practice. And so, because, you know, we have copyright law in Australia, but we don't have sort of full legal protection for Indigenous cultural intellectual property rights. So these 10 principles really take on what are the sort of practices in Indigenous customary practice. And so the principles look at, as I said, respect, collaboration, consultation, also any types of benefit sharing. If there's some sort of royalties coming out of a project or fees, making sure that, you know, those cultural custodians and communities involved are also paid. And so these protocols, you know, are seen as kind of international best practice guidelines for the best ways to working with First Nations communities in Australia.
Mm. So in the past, there has been kind of examples of misuse of traditional imagery, art, etc. How damaging do you think this has been for the community, for First Nations people in the past? Does it do anything, or would it just seeing them these traditions not reflected accurately, does it have any kind of like demonstrative effects on the culture?
Yeah, I mean, the sort of examples in the past have been really hurtful for many First Nations communities in this country. And I think this is why we have decided to, revise our First Nations protocols, because we don't want to see sort of further examples of misappropriation happening that will bring cultural harm, spiritual harm to First Nations communities in Australia. And so because of the lack of legal protection for Indigenous cultural intellectual property rights, we have to have these protocols in place to try and stop any of that further misappropriation of Indigenous culture. And, you know, we want to see First Nations culture in this country respected like any other culture in Australia, but also overseas. And so we have these protocols in place to really enhance that sort of ethical practice when working with First Nations communities.
Like it's been said, there's no kind of laws protecting these protocols. Is the hope that this might be the case going forward, or Are they in effect going to be enforceable by law to kind of have to follow these guidelines, these protocols, and respect those principles?
Yeah, I think there's a number of ways of actually implementing these protocols so that they become legally binding. So, for example, the Arts Law Centre and Dr. Terry Jenke, who wrote the protocols, Arts Law and both Terry Jenke, they will put Indigenous cultural intellectual property clauses into contracts so that it becomes legally binding terms between two parties. Another way of, making these protocols legally binding is also in relation to, like, for example, ticket sales. So Garma Festival also has in their terms and conditions specific clauses that, relate to protection of Indigenous cultural intellectual property. So if you're wanting to take photos at the Garma Festival, and you wanted to commercialise those photos, you'd have to get permission first. Mm-hmm. From the Yothu Yindi Foundation to be able to publicise those photos. So I guess that's probably the best way to make the protocols legally binding is through contractual arrangements. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, we'll still advocate for change and to have new laws that specifically deal with protecting Indigenous cultural IP rights.
Is there the hope that maybe going forward these protocols might have the potential, I guess, to create new and exciting avenues for meaningful and accurate representations of Australia's like kind of Indigenous First Nations culture in a new or greater way than it has been already?
Yeah, I mean, I think these protocols are really, a really great example of, artists and organisations that are currently working in that ethical way. So we have in the case study, we have in the protocol, sorry, 11 case studies, which highlight really great best practice between either First Nations artists and how they've worked through a lot of these issues, or otherwise other arts organisations that have sort of worked and developed their own set of protocols. Like, for example, there's an example of the Indigenous publisher Mugabella Books in Broome, and they get asked a lot to collaborate with authors that may want to, include Indigenous characters or stories within their books. And so Mugabella works quite closely with a number of different authors to make sure that proper protocol is in place and that, they're telling the stories in the most respectful way, getting permission and consent from Indigenous communities that may be involved. The case studies in the protocols are really great examples of how to work through the 10 principles that we list in the protocols.
What about maybe even internationally? Like, I know even as a kid, you'd watch some cartoons, whether they were kind of, they were always most of all kind of based in the US, and there were examples where you might see kind of boomerangs or even didgeridoos used, and even as a 7-8-year-old you could look at those and go, oh geez, like I don't know about that. Will it translate into kind of international kind of arts or works, or will it remain kind of exclusively within Australia?
Yeah, I think these protocols are really great examples for other Indigenous communities to look at and consider overseas. So we will also be, I know the Canada Council in Canada, our sister organisation, is also looking to develop their own First Nations protocols. Mm-hmm. For Canadian First Nations and Inuit and Métis communities. So these protocols can be used as a really good base for other countries working and developing their own either protocols or guidelines or laws in their countries. And I know at the United Nations level, there has been a 20-year discussion at the World Intellectual Property Organization, which I've participated in as well since 2007. And this agency is looking at also addressing these issues at an international level, and so having new international instruments that will deal with misappropriation and exploitation of Indigenous knowledge and culture worldwide. So there is a momentum happening in other countries that have Indigenous communities like Canada, New Zealand, and also the US, but also specifically at the United Nations level as well.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much for joining the show, Patricia. I do really appreciate your time. Like I said at the top, on a public holiday, no less. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Great. Thanks, Jared.
Cheers. That was Australia Council Head of First Nations Arts and Culture, Patricia Adjaye, discussing new protocols on First Nations cultural and intellectual property released by the council last week. Step in the right direction.